All boats are aligned. Attention.
Welcome back to the Weigh Enough Rowing Podcast. We're your hosts and masters of ceremonies, the short and snarky coxswains. I am Sam, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Kate.
Thanks, Sam. Well, if you're not following us already, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Short and Snarky Rowing. And don't forget to pick up a copy of the Short and Snarky Guide to Coxing and Rowing on Amazon. We are coming into sprint season. Spring season is starting. So if you've got new coxswains or even old coxswains that could use a little refresher, this book is great. And it's really, we like to have fun.
Yeah, we prove that you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Yep, and we're old dogs here. So.
Yeah, true. We've got an exciting episode today, but first I wanted to get into the news story of the day. I know you guys have missed it. We've been out for 2 weeks, but the news story of the day is Via World Rowing. It's titled, "The Indoor Rowing Sprints Are a Global Hit." So now, Kate, this is the first international sanctioned virtual rowing event of its kind. Apparently there were over 3,800 competitors competing from over 52 countries. And what the challenge is doing 1,000 meters as fast as you can.
Right. So I made my master's team do it.
Yeah.
At one of our practices, they could compare with people around the world, and most of them were not in the very top, but we had a good time doing it.
It sounds awesome. But the most interesting part of this article was the story, even, is that there's this guy named Mitchell Wimbush in Tanzania, and he took his concept to Erg to the nearest town. And just taught people how to row, whoever was interested.
Just on the street.
I'm pretty sure he just wheeled it out on the street. It was just like, I mean, I would stop and try to look at that. But what he said was that he got 27 people to participate in the challenge. Most of these people didn't even know what year they were born in, let alone what month they were born in. But they're learning how to erg. And then they're like, yeah, sure, just, you know, record my time on there. Like, I was like, that is amazing. He convinced 27 Tanzanians to just...
That's great. Well, you know, I'm just trying to picture a village in Tanzania with an erg out in the main center square of the town and have everyone
rowing. Maybe they're going to have, like, that's going to be like the new city square. It's going to be like in the middle. It'll always be an erg. And everyone will be like, ah. But anyway, for those of you who did not participate in it, didn't know about it, I guess the second edition of the World Rowing Indoor Sprints will take place in March on the 10th and the 12th, 10th to 12th of 2017. In the meantime, they encourage us to take part in the World Erg Challenge. Get on it, Short and Snarkians. Tanzanians are after us.
Yeah, it's on Concept 2. And if you haven't been to the Concept 2 website, the event, this one just ended, I think, last week, but, mm-hmm. you know, the new one's coming out pretty well. We'll get ready for 2017. I'm going to get my master's team prepared for that. So our first guest today is going to be Jen Gibbons. So Jen Gibbons, I'm really excited to talk with her.
Oh, I'm so excited.
She is a coach in Chicago, and she's got a program where she's doing... it's called Recovery on the Water, and it's a rowing team for survivors of breast cancer.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is getting people out that might not have been introduced to rowing before, and we're going to talk to her. My other absolute favorite thing about Jen is that she has rowed around Lake Michigan.
I can't wait to hear that story.
Past my parents' house, even.
Yeah, I can't wait for that story. So without further ado, let us bring on Jen Gibbons. Jen, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys
doing? Doing well. Thank you. And thank you again so much for joining us. So we just kind of prepped everybody a little bit on what your background was. So if you could just tell us your rowing background and how you got where you are today.
Sure. I rowed at Michigan State. And after college, I started coaching at College Prep in Chicago, St. Ignatius College Prep, which is a great program.
Do you know it?
I started Recovery in Water. However, I have to backtrack a little bit. When I was at Michigan State, I used to volunteer with a program. It was called We Can Row, and it was about women enduring cancer rowing. And So I got involved with the program. I used to volunteer on Wednesdays, and I thought it was a really wonderful organization. And so when I got to Chicago and I started coaching at Ignatius, I thought it would be really great to volunteer with the Chicago rowing team for Breast Cancer Survivors. However, there wasn't one. So so basically, I went to the parent board, and I knew that they had interest in giving back. And so they helped me get the organization started in 2008. And over the years, we started with a handful of women, and now we reach, you know, over 65 women a year that are a part of the team. We're a master's program in Chicago. And largely the reason that exercise is so important for survivors is that regular exercise reduces cancer occurrence for patients and survivors of breast cancer. So if a woman goes through her cancer diagnosis and her treatment, and afterwards she's told, you know, you have a 20% chance of cancer coming back, with regular exercise, that becomes a 10% risk. So it's a huge tool. Yeah.
That's great.
Really amazing.
Oh, wow, that is amazing.
I mean, none of them are rowers. Like, nobody on the team knew how to row before they joined.
Yeah. And that's amazing. That must boost really their morale and their quality of life.
Oh, they're awesome. I mean, they're amazing women that I am so honored to be a part of their lives and have them in my life. And I mean, it's been, you know, many years now, so the program has grown, and we still have, you know, a handful of women, that first group that started. I always say that they're like so brave and crazy that they were willing to start with me, because I was like all of 22 years old and didn't know how to coach women that were like, could be my mom or my grandma.
Yeah.
Like I coached high school kids before. And you kind of just like go about it confidently and you're like, okay, I'm figuring this out. But with middle-aged women, it's a little different.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, we know.
But super rewarding experience, and I'm so honored to lead the organization now. And we're working to build our program and diversify our program. You know, free master's rowing programs kind of really rarely exist. And so making the program free and available to any patient or survivor of breast cancer is a really big and important role for our board, and we really value that.
Yeah, that's great. And for people that aren't familiar with Jen's background, you were honored by U.S. Rowing as the Masters Rowing Coach of the Year back in 2011 for that program. And I think that's a really big honor, but just the fact that you're,
2011.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, you know, that's a really big deal, and having that recognition nationally, and I think what you're doing is great.
Oh, it's absolutely, it's amazing. Good. Yeah, no problem. Thank you. You're the, you're the pioneer there. So, but speaking of that, how was that row around Lake Michigan, by the way?
I love that. it was great. It was an amazing experience. You know, the idea to row around the lake kind of came initially from the fact that, you know, the program got started in 2008. And as you guys know, like, you know, the boats that high school kids row in are not exactly always the right size for, you know, so much, you know, an aging adult. So, So we needed some boats, and we didn't have any money to do it. And I had been running marathons since I graduated from college, and have been, you know, running just because really running is like the only thing you have time for when you're coaching, because you're coaching people all the time. So, so I started running, and I really got into endurance sports, and I just really missed rowing, and I enjoyed the concept of the marathon and training for marathon, and then I thought, well, you know, maybe there's some kind of like endurance rowing that I could do, because I just really miss it. And when you start to look into that, like, you recognize that there's this whole world of like open water, like ocean going rowing. And so I started looking into it and trying to figure out like something that, you know, people hadn't done before, or, you know, what would be like a really great challenge that could help not only raise funds for the organization and purchase some boats, but also like kind of satisfy this hunger I had, you know, for endurance and an adventure for sure. And so I bought the boat in 2010, and they actually just crossed the Atlantic Ocean. It was the second time they crossed the Atlantic Ocean, so I knew that it was seaworthy. The boat's name was Liv.
Okay.
It lived.
Yeah.
and then I started training, which was just crazy. You know, I was working like a regular corporate job, and I would row before work, and then I would do CrossFit and like a series of life meditation and yoga in the evening. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of my life for like a year and a half, getting ready for the trip. And it was just an amazing adventure. So I was on the water for 59 days.
Oh, my.
And I started in Chicago and ended in Chicago.
Okay.
Which way did you go?
Raised about $150,000.
What did you go toward Michigan first or toward Wisconsin first?
I went through Wisconsin first.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So I know that you're a co-founder of this, of the Recovery on Water program with Sue Ann Glazer, and just kind of talk about how you met her, and I know that I read a little bit about her story, but just talk about how you met her and how you guys got the idea to do this.
Oh, Sue Ann's just the best. So Sue Ann is from Boston originally. She was living in Boston and moved to Chicago and was really familiar with rowing teams. She'd always wanted to row all of her life. And she had heard about the program in Boston for breast cancer survivors. And then, so when she came to Chicago, I was sort of at that point where I just started hosting open houses for breast cancer survivors to come and learn about the sport, and like very awkwardly showing up at support group meetings, like, again, all of 22 years of me being like, hey, I want to teach you guys how to row. Like,
yeah,
how do we make this
seriously
happen?
Yeah.
It's so weird. But, was, believe it or not, like, she was looking for a program like this at the exact same time, and so I hosted this open house in Skokie, which is just north of Chicago, and they have, like, a rowing facility there, and so I hosted this open house, and then, like, a week later, Sue Ann went into the same park district building and was like, oh, I'm a breast cancer survivor, I really want to learn about rowing. And he's like, oh, you meant to talk to that one lady, you know, which he meant me. And so all of this sort of happening, you know, like it's like fate that we like sort of ended up, you know, we exchanged phone numbers and that we met for dinner. And the organization is just really, you know, Sue Ann always has her finger like on the pulse of why we exist and why we started this organization. And I'm so proud and so happy that she's still such an active part of all we do. She's on our board, and she still rows, and she's just this really phenomenal woman that, you know, she was never an athlete before, had never really participated in sports or exercise, and after her cancer diagnosis, her doctor said, you know, you've got to get active, and you've got to get moving, and so she started rowing, and I will never forget the first time she, like, did a regatta. She went to the grocery store afterwards, and she was in her spandex, and she's like, I think I'm strutting. Like, I think I'm strutting down the aisle, like, I'm an athlete. You know, that moment?
Yeah.
And at, like, 60 years old, you know, it's great. So, so Sue Ann is, I mean, just such an amazing woman, such an inspiration to me, and really the reason that, you know, I was able to kind of get everything off the ground. And, you know, you really need people that believe in what you're doing when you're starting something,
absolutely,
or when you're an entrepreneur. And
absolutely.
So she's an awesome woman.
Awesome. Well, that's such a cool story, and it was so funny because I was trying to like put the pieces together of like I was like looking through you guys' bios, and I'm like, how did they meet? And then I'm like, oh, I think that they just kind of randomly like got in touch with each other. So
yeah,
that one lady and Sue Ann are the that's you. So you that you must be that one lady. So Jen, on that note, what are your projected goals? Like, what do you see the future of Recovery on Water being?
You know, with the organization, we really have got some ambitious goals over the next year. And there's a boathouse that's going to open on the south side of Chicago, and we've been anticipating that for a long time. We've been, like, homeless and just sort of, like, living, like, there's this property that we put our boats, but there's no shelter, and there's no running water and no electricity. So the city has invested in the sport, and they're building a boathouse. And so that will be completed in November, which we anticipate will really allow us to expand our programs, and it gives us a home. And so we're really, really excited about what that's going to bring the program. And over the next year, the goal is to increase our team size and also just the diversity on the team. Because with the sport being, you know, so, like, it's viewed as this elite, non-traditional sport, and we want people who are afraid of water, who are afraid of the concept of having to pay for it, everybody who doesn't know the sport or isn't familiar with it, we want to get on the water. So it's an ambitious goal. We're aiming to reach 100 survivors this year.
Wow.
And then also a little bit of work through the community programming that we plan to do in the boathouse. So we started a open indoor rowing class on Tuesday nights at our space, and we've had, like, just phenomenal success with bringing people in. So I think people are curious. I think the Midwest is coming around to the sport, and it's just a really exciting time.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I can't believe you guys have – I mean, you guys are growing so and you know, so just – so steadily and so awesome. So anything we can do to help, just let us know. I mean, this is cool. We're getting the word out on it. So anything we can do to help, just let us know. But we have some other questions for you, and then we promise we're almost done.
So Jen, we've got a couple of questions we ask all of our guests on the show, pretty much. So the first thing, you rode in college at Michigan State. Do you have any embarrassing, we want to hear a most embarrassing rowing moment, whether it happened to you or someone else, and you don't need to name names, but we're curious to hear what that might be.
Embarrassing story?
Yeah.
Oh boy, I know exactly what story to tell you.
Ooh, locked and loaded.
There we go.
My freshman year, you know, freshman year, when you're novice, you're like, well, terrified of the coach, right? Like,
yeah.
The varsity coach particularly. And so I will never forget this. So we had, like, this big sister program where, you know, you're a novice, you come in, and when you go on spring break, you have, like, a big sister on the varsity team, and throughout the week, like, they give you presents, and you don't know who they are, and at the end of the week, you find out who they are. It's like, you know, team building, great experience. Excuse me. And my big sister gave me a squirt gun as, like, a gag gift, and I was, like, going to find out later, like, what it meant about her, or, like, whatever. So I'm in the hotel room for spring break, and I'm using the squirt gun to write MSU on the ceiling, because that's what you do when you're, like, yeah, you know, 17 and really dumb. And for some reason, the varsity coach came in, and she just, like, burst into our room because the hotel management is telling us that we're being too loud, and I'm writing MSU on the ceiling, like, in the process. I was just so mortified, like, so terribly mortified, and just, like, at the next day at their team meeting, like, our coach is just, you know, talking about how, you know, oh, I got somebody writing on the ceiling, like, and I would never forget, like, I stayed up all night trying to make sure that it was, like, going to dry and, like, you wouldn't see it after the fact.
Yeah.
Totally mortifying experience.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Ooh, big time whoops. And then the last question that we ask everyone is, do you still have all of your medals? And if so, where do you keep them?
They are in the bottom of a storage bin. Yeah, they're not out. They should be.
We had Dr. Rowing. He said that he displays all of his rowing medals in the bathroom. And yeah, and then Meredith from Concept 2 said that she took all the ribbons off, and she hangs all of her medals on the Christmas tree.
Oh, that's a cool idea. I like
yeah,
that.
So just in case you want great. Some ideas, I mean, you can listen to our podcast episodes, and they'll tell you what to do with your medals.
I
and
love
you're
it.
Like, oh, I don't know what to do with them. They're in this horrible storage bin. We're giving you ideas.
I love it. It's brilliant.
Well, thank you so much, Jen. We really enjoyed the time.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're gonna go ahead and let you go do your stuff. But thank you again so much for your time, and we really enjoy talking with
you're
you.
You're welcome, ladies. Have a great day.
Thanks,
thank
you too.
You.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
So recovery on water. I mean, that is just a dynamite program, it sounds like, and 100 survivors every year. That's an ambitious goal. So.
That's incredible. So if you know anyone who's surviving in breast cancer and is in the Illinois area, or, you know, maybe you're not in that area, but you maybe want to partner with them, or, you know, kind of get the program out in a different area, I know that right now for the month of March, they're partnering with FOMO Active. That's FOMO. And they'll contribute 20% of all the online transactions to Recovery on Water. So if you guys buy something through FOMO Activewear, even if it's just socks, because you can never have enough socks.
I need some more socks.
Yeah. So, you know, just the 20% of all online transactions goes towards them. And I mean, it's an incredible cause.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening today. We are the Short and Snarky Coxswains. And if you haven't already started following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, we are at Short and Snarky Rowing.
And don't forget to pick up your copy of the Short and Snarky Guide to Coxing and Rowing on Amazon.com. If you like us, if you like our podcast, please keep listening. Subscribe, rate, and review. If you guys have any type of questions for us, maybe you've got a cool topic, maybe you have like a really crazy cool coach that you want to see if he can be on the podcast, send us an email, shortandsnarkyrowing@gmail.com, and we will see you on the water.
Last two strokes. That's one, two. Way enough. Let it run. Blades down.